Today, the cash ban is communism for the banks. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today I'm joined by Robbie Barwick from the CEC. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Martin.
Good to see you again. And I think we're going to have a little interesting conversation because our mutual friend John Adams has really gone off the deep end, hasn't he?
He has. John has made the news today. It should be headlines. A former Liberal advisor and a diehard True Blue Liberal has come out calling the Morrison government the Soviet Liberal government, and he says they are unleashing communism for the banks, and he's spot on. And I hope it hurts. I'm glad John's said this because, you know, it had to be said. This is these Liberals like to rail against communism, but we're living in an era where there's nothing, in my view, there may be one or two genuine ones in there, but there's nothing really genuine about that. When it came to the banks being in trouble 10 years ago, and ever since, they have gone out of their way to bring all the resources of the state to bear to save them and bail them out and prop them up. And now to the point where it's not just the resource of the state, it's our civil rights, the right to use cash, the right to have privacy, the right not to have to use a private financial institution if we don't want to use it. That all goes so that they can save the banks some more with this cash ban. So John's spot on.
Yes, there's a show over on The Interest of the People where John goes through the thought and the cartoon, which actually supports it. And I think it's a very powerful cartoon. But, you know, this is a really critical issue, as you say, Robbie, because essentially what we have is we have a deep, dark black hole at the centre of our economy, which is actually where the government and the banks are dancing together. And it's basically sucking everything else in, but creating mayhem and destroying, you know, wealth, households and our futures simply because of the myopic view that's been pursued for at least two generations.
Yeah. Let's look at, I mean, the cartoon illustrates that. If we can display the cartoon, people can see it. We'll put links where people can get copies of it because we want people to, this is a campaign, take it and get it around. Let's shame this government with what they're doing. But you see the Morrison and the, you know, giving helicopter money and everything the bankers want, and the bankers are all cheering. And then it illustrates the social consequences of that at the bottom. John put a lot of detail in. You know, I've had a, John and I worked on this together. We get around on these expeditions we do, Martin, where we've gone to certain places and looked at the real estate market and come and made shows. Remember the famous Manjaro one? But in the car, there's a lot of brainstorming going on. There's also a lot of arguing going on. People have travelled with us. You know, Owen in Perth and Barry Mason in Perth and Florian Heiss in Brisbane and our other friends, they have heard this, the way John and I interact. But this was, when he said this, that this is a Soviet Liberal government, I thought, you know, this is gold. But John's motivation, and mine, but this is John's motivation, was the social consequences. And this is actually what drives John a lot. He's actually come to a few of our seminars and laid out his economic Armageddon thesis, and people are struck by his concern for the social consequences. So we have disagreements in how you necessarily address that. But the concern is shared, right? And he wanted to put a lot of detail in the cartoon. I said to him many times, look, you don't need to do that, you know, simplify it. But no, he wanted to do that, and I think it's a good job. I accused him of being like Michelangelo on doing the Sistine Chapel at a certain point. You know, 5 years on his back doing this thing. I kept saying to John, is it finished yet? But the cartoonist was up for it. Danny Zemp did a good job. And it illustrates that all these people, there's so much out there in terms of social problems in Australia that are direct consequences of this economy, and the direct consequences of the government's approach to prioritizing, I'll use their term, financial stability, which means for the banks above all else, right? And there was a University of Sydney or a University of New South Wales economist made a point last year, that when they say financial stability, they don't mean financial stability for households, because he pointed out the financial stability for banks has come directly at the cost of financial stability for households. Mandurah was a stunning example. In fact, the news today from Mandurah, the Mandurah Mail reported yesterday that drug deaths are on the rise in Mandurah. And this is a lovely seaside town, right? Obviously overdeveloped, you can see that. It led the boom, and now it's leading the bust. And your data showed the mortgage stress and these sort of problems. We saw the for sale signs, but what people had also reflected back to us, which the politicians didn't want to own up to, was the massive social problems, especially the drug problem. This is the drug capital of Australia, and now the drug deaths are on the rise, and all the locals know that. So that's illustrated in there. The domestic violence, the farmers being ruined. You know, let me just plug this book actually. Adele Ferguson's book, Banking Bad, and I'm one of the people who followed this issue closely, but Adele's put it all in one place. You know, so many victims of this system, the government doesn't give a stuff, right? Their whole approach is, when it comes to the victims, is what's the minimum we can get away with? What's the minimum we can force the banks to do, right? They don't care. But when it comes to the banks, they'll turn anything on. So now we've got the specific things that John is highlighting is in terms of the policies, not just the cash ban, it's the helicopter money, it's the quantitative easing, these things that they're prepared to do now, more and more extreme policies, zero and negative interest rates, right? Bail in, that they're prepared to countenance to prop this system up, right? And this is, the state using all its resources at the expense of the state. I mean, okay, I'm not a small government guy in terms of, I'm a civil liberties guy, right? But I'm not one of these, you know, libertarians hung up on small government. I like the Abraham Lincoln concept. Government of the people, for the people, by the people. That's what government's for, right? This system we've got now is the state, the government, using all its powers for a corporate elite at the expense of the people. And they have all kinds of clever ways with the media and politics to keep the people down. Someone's got to call it, and John has, and I think it's very important.
Absolutely. And, this isn't just a local thing in Australia, right? This is a global trend. There was a very interesting speech that I heard from somebody from the Bank of England basically saying that, you know, at the end of the day, the only people who are going to pick up the pieces here are households, one or the other, right? Households, yep. Either because they'll get caught with their own mortgages, or they'll get bailed in through their deposits, or their superannuation will go backwards simply because the markets will crash. There is nobody else to pick up the pieces except the household at the end of the day. And that's the problem, right? Because effectively, all of this maelstrom of noise and effort around trying to keep the banking system up and supporting it and doing quantitative easing and lowering interest rates is all focusing in on trying to support the unsupportable. That's the problem. And there is no evidence anywhere around the world where lower interest rates and QE and even, you know, negative interest rates have actually changed anything. Look at Japan, look at some of the European countries. So the policies that are actually at the heart of this have been proven not to work. And yet Australia is just meekly following down the same path, partly, I think, thanks to the direction from the IMF and from the BIS and elsewhere. And frankly, partly because we have a lack of leadership here in Australia. We don't have anybody, you know, in positions of power who really want to take a stand and really want to work on behalf of the people. That's the basic problem I see. So this is a huge, huge, huge issue. And I think the cash ban is actually the real linchpin here, right? It's the point at which we say thus far and no further. Because essentially, if we allow the cash ban just to roll through, it means that once again, our civil liberties are removed. Once again, money is forced back into the banking system to the benefit of the banks and the bankers, but not to consumers. And essentially, it just provides more control at the centre and more support for the banking system. So this, I think, really becomes a very important touch point.
Well, that's a rallying cry. I think the people of Australia have heard you. So let me also break some news here. We were informed, a Treasury official blurted out the other day to one of our supporters, under duress, because this is a particularly fiery guy, Garth, who called them up. And I think I've mentioned Garth's name on your show before. Garth got this guy to blurt out that he thought the reason the Treasury hasn't revealed the published submissions on their website yet because they got 4,000 plus. And if that figure's right, that breaks all records. We looked at this 2 years ago. They averaged 30 submissions in these Treasury legislation consultation processes. 4,000 plus is the people of Australia. In 2 weeks, remember, you and I got on this show. John got on the show with you on the other channel. We got on the CSC report, make a submission, and people rallied and did that. That's quite extraordinary. So pat yourselves on the back. The Parliament's got the message. People have been calling, right? We've had, and I've been able to do some follow-up meetings. Now, I'm going to Parliament next week with Dr. Wilson Tsai, and we'll have meetings with politicians about this as well. Politicians are certainly getting the calls, and they're getting the message, because we've never seen the public react this way. Right. This is finally, it's like, okay, it is too far. We heard you on bail-in and we thought that was bad, but it's sort of, you know, disbelief. Now it's too far. But I just don't let up. I got to give you an example of why you shouldn't let up. A senator's advisor said today, oh, he said it to Garth, my mate Garth. He said to him, why are you concerned about this bill? It hasn't even been introduced yet. Well, that's the that's the problem. By the time it's introduced, it's too late, right? And these schmucks, you know, Yiddish, the Yiddish language, great term, schmuck. These schmucks, oh, we'll just treat everything formally. Oh, wait till the government. It was the Labor guy too, by the way. Wait till the government introduces it, and then we'll come to a decision on it. No, the public's telling you now what they think, right? It's garbage. It's an attack on their rights, and they're not going to take it. So people are well and truly fired up about that. I want to another thing briefly on it, which you and John touched on in a show earlier in the year, but it came to my attention. Just to give you an example of how fired up people got, I'll use her name. Michelle Harrison in Western Australia is a viewer. She sent us an email. She went and did all this extra research into the Black Economy Task Force report, which was really valuable because I don't know how you get to read everything you read, but you know, it's to keep up with everything is very difficult. And these reports are quite lengthy. She went through it with far more detail than me and drew out all this stuff. The thing with, I'm now telling politicians, this whole thing at a minimum is a scam. They're being scammed by KPMG, one of the most crooked organizations in the world, who not only are they, you know, an accomplice in banking crimes and money laundering and tax evasion, have been fined hundreds of millions of dollars for it over the years because that is what they do, right? And that's the things that they've been caught, they've been guilty of. Most of what they do is legal because they help write the laws to make it legal. Not only are they hypocritical for wanting to call us tax evaders for wanting to use cash, but KPMG has been in charge of this process since 2012, authorized by the Reserve Bank to create a new payments platform, which is the infrastructure for a totally cashless society. KPMG has coordinated all the banks that are now owners of this thing. You can see it on their website. Not just banks, other companies like Indu, the cashless welfare card organization, which is a total scam in its own right. That's connected to the National Party, and that company gets $10,000 per card to administer the program. And now they want to roll it out Australia wide, right? Just a total joke. And you know, and it's really, really insidious because it appeals to, you know, the fascist side in people, and I have to, I'll put it in that, say, oh yeah, we don't want those dole bludgers ripping us off, right? Because they're spending the dole on the booze. So yeah, let's make them go cashless. Well, people might have tolerated that. Well, now it's coming to us, right? So Indu's involved in it. KPMG's coordinating this. And that explains to me now why not only did KPMG recommend the cash ban, they're already lobbying to reduce it down to $2,000. And they're using arguments that are a total con. Dr. Wilson Tsai has written a really good short talking points for our meetings next week, which we've published in the Alert Service. And I'll send you a graphic. You can put it on the screen to illustrate this, Martin. A 2017 study of the black economy showed that Australia has the 10th smallest black economy in the world. And Japan, which is the heaviest user of cash in the world, Japanese people use the most cash, has an even smaller black economy than Australia's. And all those European countries that we hear about that have gone cashless and or have cash restrictions from the France, Spain, Italy, Denmark and Sweden, they all have much bigger black economies than Australia does. This is an absolutely bogus argument, right? So, you know, they can't get away with that. People see through it straight away, but where John has come in is called this agenda for what it is, in a way that is designed to. This will wound liberals, right? This will shame them if they have a conscience left. I have to add that caveat. The ones that have a conscience left, this will shame them, right? Because we've had 10 years of this, you know, privatizing profits, socializing losses, make the people pay for the sins of the banking system. And finally, one of their guys, John Adams, someone who was once part of them, has come out and called it for what it is.
Absolutely. And you might be interested to know that some central banks in Scandinavia have now recently come out and said they need to reverse their decision with regard to the cashless society, because they're now worried about the potential risks of having a whole payment system effectively digitally connected. And they're worried and they're worried about the fact that the central provider of those payment services could be in the private sector, which means effectively that they could actually be influenced by some of the, you know, economic drivers that perhaps aren't very advantageous to society. Well, better late than never is all I can say.
Yep. And look, there's, you know, I don't use much cash. So Stephen Jones, the Labor guy, said, oh, I don't use any cash, so who cares? Let's spend it all. Now, I don't use much cash, but I tell you what, since people are getting all kinds of stories, you know, there's lots of farms in Australia. I mean, a tractor tire can cost you $10,000, for crying out loud, right? Yep. They get suppliers come to them, they get market representatives come to them, and the deals, they get better deals in cash.
Yep.
Right? Avoiding the banks. It's totally legal, totally honest. It's none of anyone's business. And these people in their ivory towers are just going to take that all away from them, mm. right? Yep. And if the we need people to call the National Party, because, I mean, you know, John used the term in the Carter and the Soviet Liberal government, but they're complicit in it if they're going to let this go ahead. You know, do not tolerate this. This is stand up for your rights. And this is one that I think we might be able to actually have a big say in getting withdrawn.
Yeah, and Robbie, one last point before we close. People need to realise, of course, that if you are forced to use the banking system, you'll be forced to pay charges. And so it is yet another revenue-raising scheme that the banks will be able to enjoy. And given the fact that with interest rates so low and margins very much compressed, they are in search of new fee sources. So guess what? Another reason why we need to be avoiding this, because essentially all we're doing is allowing the banks to generate ever more profits for their shareholders at the expense of ordinary Australians.
Yeah. So can I tell people, look, we're putting out a release on this cartoon and what John has said. John's put out a release. We'll have links on the bottom of this show. You can go to our website and see our release. On John Adams' website, adamseconomics.com, and our website, cecaust.com.au, people can go and download high-resolution colour images of this. Use it as a poster. Get it out everywhere. There was a guy in Noosa who went and took – he made his own handwritten poster a few weeks ago that helped inspire this idea and put it on the weekend, put it on the windows of the banks, right? Do stuff like that. Get it in circulation. If you want – if you don't have a – I mean, you can take the higher resolution, take it to Quick Copy, whatever, get an A3 thing, even bigger, print it out. If that's too difficult, you can call the CEC. Call us on 1-800-636-432, and we can send you copies, right? We'll have them printed out. We've got a good color printer here. We'll have it printed out for you. Get this around. Let's stir them up. We need to stir them up. And also, if you haven't already, sign the petition. The change.org petition is going very well. It's under my name on change.org, Robert Barwick, and it's we'll have a link for that. But stop Scott Morrison banning cash to trap Australians in banks, and share it widely and share it repeatedly. Right. Every time someone signs that, a message gets sent to key politicians. Call and call and call and call again. Don't stop doing that. This is working. Right. So if you're concerned about this, make the effort. Keep making the calls. This is working.
Yeah. Robbie, thank you very much for your time today. And, you know, there is an opportunity here to really strike while the iron's hot and to put a stake in the ground to say thus far and no further.
Yep. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you very much. Talk to you next time. Well, there you have it. And I make no apologies for making yet another video on the cash ban, because I think this is one of the most critical civil liberty issues that we're facing in Australia at the moment. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.